name is Marina. I'm in recovery.
I am an addict in recovery. My name's Noni.
I'm an addict. My name's Sean.
And today we're going to be conducting a workshop on Tradition 3. So the first thing that we wanted to do as a group was to invite a loving... The first thing we wanted to do as a group was to come together and invite a loving higher power into this process we're about to do. So if you want to join us, we're going to do that now. So Creator, thank you for the breath of life of this day. Thank you for all your love and grace and your blessings. Thank you for your guidance and thank you for your disciplines. We invite you into this process. We ask you to come in and be a part of this and help us heal together as a fellowship. Thank you.
Amen.
So, you can go overview. You're going to have to talk. You might have to take it off. Can we take it off?
So the overview on our workshop here this morning, we've done our introductions. I'm Sean. I'm an addict still. If you want me to say that every time that I get a hold of the mic.
Sean, excuse me for a second. Yeah. Marina, I had to talk to you about...
I know, but they're saying they can't hear us.
You're not going to get the taping.
Oh. Can you just... That's good information.
Can you leave it there? And bring your flip chart right beside you.
My higher power gave me a voice. I'm going to try and use it to the best of my ability. Okay? So the overview of our program here, we've gone through our introductions. We're going to have some large group icebreaker questions. That's for everybody. The yellow pads, the sticky pads that are on your tables, please use those to write down your collective answers. When we're done with this workshop, we're going to collect those pads because we want to submit this information to World. Right, we want to gather this information today to help better how we welcome people, hey, and how we encourage people to practice Tradition 3. So we're also going to have some small group discussions, some small group feedback, and then we're going to have a large group wrap up.
And then we have goals: heightened awareness of the principles in the third tradition and how to put them into practice. I'm going to yell. I don't want that thing. Anyways, I am an addict in recovery. My name is Noni. We're also going to identify issues that challenge us as members that prevent us from welcoming addicts, all addicts. Identify resources and tools that might help groups and individuals practice the third tradition. And we're also going to model the sort of discussions that can take place in the group forum. And remember that our main purpose here is to carry the message to any addict that might be suffering. That's the primary purpose of any group.
Yeah, so... Oh, I'll move back over here. Sorry, guys. Marina's still addict. So, Tradition 3, the only requirement is the desire to stop using. So, we're just going to go over some ground rules because we're going to work together as a team and we're going to work together as a group to try to pull out as much as we can. And in order to do that, we kind of need to have some ground rules. So first and foremost, like if you guys can set your phones to silent, be respectful and mindful of everybody that's participating. Raise your hands. This is a big one. be open-minded. But most importantly, we want all of you to participate because we really want to hear what your experience is like and how we can better help you practice the principles of this tradition. So the brainstorming guidelines... first and foremost, defer judgment. Like, let's not judge each other. Stay focused on the topic, one conversation at a time, build on the ideas of others, and most importantly, encourage new ideas. So our first question is going to be, how have we welcomed and how have we heard we are not welcoming? And I'm going to take maybe three hands, so... Do you guys want to think about this? Yes, this young lady right here. Hi, Crystal.
We don't use the word sober. It's clean.
Yes.
So is that welcoming or not welcoming?
Not welcoming.
Not welcoming. Okay, perfect.
So
So we can repeat that. What you said is that we use the word sober, not clean, and that's not welcoming. It's not inclusive. Yes.
Did you want to go ahead?
Hi, Kira. I'm an addict.
Hi, Kira. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you want to repeat that so everybody can hear it?
So she said not welcoming newcomers at a meeting, like being in your own time, in your own place. A lot of the times we're always trying to carry the message, right? And especially if we're clean and we're good, we should be trying to reach the person that's not, right?
I'm Shannon, and I'm an addict.
Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I think this varies throughout our fellowship. I think a lot of us have experienced many different things as we change from meeting to meeting, right? But the whole idea here is that we bring awareness to how we come across to newcomers, how we come across to professionals that refer addicts to Narcotics Anonymous. Go ahead. Hi, Amanda. Absolutely. So thank you so much, because I want to hit that right on the head. The only requirement for membership in this program is the desire to stop using. So you don't need to be clean. You know, you can be here and you can, it's up to us as healing, recovering addicts to separate our own feelings about that and be able to still reach that still suffering addict, whether they're high or not. Obviously, we encourage to come to the meetings clean so you could learn, but it is very important. Go ahead.
I like doing this at meetings, and I say your friends welcome here at the meeting, and that you don't have to be clean to get a welcome tag.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if I'm always right doing that, but I always encourage people to take a welcome tag, whether they're clean or not.
Well, and, you know, I mean, it's up to that person to leave there and stay clean to the next meeting, right? That's what the message is about. So good for you. Gary?
Hi, I'm not. My name's Gary.
Hi, Gary.
So one thing I faced with my home group is once, when they identify themselves, when we ask this newcomer, anybody in the first 3 days, at the end of the meeting, we actually acknowledge them. Thank you for so-and-so for coming, so-and-so for coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit too self-righteous,
mm-hmm.
right? And I would actually scare them the fuck away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Too eager. It's scary. Yes, absolutely. And I don't mean to stretch or anything, but I think, Gary, your home group brought that information back to each other in a meeting, in a home group meeting, and you guys decided to do something about that.
Yeah.
So good for you guys. All right. We're going to move on.
Here, one more.
One more. One more. Hi, Beth.
One of the things that I've
got
feedback on that's very welcoming is the fellowship after a meeting.
Ooh, yes.
Like everybody in the meeting gets asked if you're outside or if you're inside.
Absolutely.
We mention it in our format at the end of the meeting that
you're getting together.
That's
so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Beth. And I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in this fellowship. This is where I got clean. But I've also moved to different places, and no fellowship is like this one. We are very, very gifted here. We're very lucky that we have the fellowship that we do. All right, okay. Let's move right on. You're the next question, so I can write for you. Or Noni, you want to write for her?
This one's getting dry.
Okay, so our next question that we're going to get group feedback on is, yet other addicts and those who refer addicts to NA let us know that we don't always do a good job welcoming all addicts. It talks in our literature about us not being welcoming to people who are court-ordered, people who are on drug replacement therapy and whatnot, and so we just want to get some feedback on how we can maybe improve upon that. Beth.
Repeat it.
We're not going to get the recording if we pass the mic.
Just repeat it.
So,
there you go. Go ahead.
So what Beth had said is people that are typically court ordered are new, so we should be including them in welcoming them to our meetings, right? And that's been my experience here in our Edmonton Fellowship and elsewhere as well, right? Thank you, Beth. Don?
I was going to say, and I know I might get some frowns when I say this, but I have encouraged people on drug replacement therapy to come to meetings and to collect key tags. And I know that is not in alignment with things, but I've seen people do that, and then they make the change for themselves
Absolutely.
Later because they realize. Mm-hmm. And so that's my philosophy behind that. They can make that change, then that's my philosophy, is I want to meet them where they're at and encourage them to get what recovery they can.
Yeah, so Dawn was sharing is about encouraging people who are on drug replacement therapy to keep coming and even, you know, to collect their milestones, right? And then maybe after a period of time, they may make that change to move from drug replacement therapy and to just get continuous clean time, right? We do have literature on medication and whatnot and how it pertains to membership in NA, right? And you know what? I know that there are members in our area that have to take medication for pain or mental illness or whatever, right? And, you know, again, we don't want to be judging of people and how they're involved in our fellowship, right?
Well, and I think it's important to remember that's their program. It's not yours. It's theirs. And we're here to encourage them to keep coming, right? Period. It has nothing to do with you. You know? So go ahead.
In the back. Charlie. Hey, Charlie. Charlie, we've moved on from that question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, over here.
Hi, my name is Chris. I'm an addict.
Hey, Chris.
I'm in the middle of my step four. When I came to Edmonton, an addict, I spoke with my doctor about resolutions for. I've been in six car accidents, and I tried everything. And we came to the conclusion for.
Thanks for sharing, Chris. So I don't know if everybody heard what Chris was sharing there about being on drug replacement therapy and then having, you know, some situation arise with his sponsor that did not work out. and encourage him to keep moving forward, right? This can be very difficult, right? And so my own experience, when I have the discussion about sponsorship with potentially new sponsees, I always open the door and allow feedback from both of us. Like, what are my expectations of you? What are your expectations of me? Where are you at? What's going on? You know, because if I don't know about you guys, but I can't read minds, right? And I'm really glad you can't read mine, because if you could, I'd probably get punched in the face a lot, right? So, you know, I guess as a response and hopefully a resolution for this is to be open and honest when we're seeking those relationships, you know, and when we're, and, you know, we might not always be received with welcoming, opening, open arms, right? With where we're at. So, but I think that there's enough people with enough experience in our fellowship, wherever we go, that we can find people who are willing to work with us, no matter where we're at or what we're going through, right? I've heard and I've experienced that there's nothing going on for any of us that somebody hasn't dealt with, experienced, and gotten through clean, right? You know, I'm not a unicorn, right?
And I do think it comes down to reserving judgment, too.
Yeah.
Who the fuck am I to say you should not be doing this? That can send an addict out and kill them, as is already talked about. And that is scary stuff. Like, I'm not God. And working through the 12 steps, I found a higher power operating in my life. And it's really about referring to that, not my own self-will and what I think. How shit should go. I mean, if you're here, you're here for a reason, and you need to be here. We don't want to kill addicts. We want to save them. We want to help them. We want to do what we can to aid people in their recovery, not be a detriment to it. And I'm no one to tell you what your recovery needs to look like. You're going to find that out on your own, through your own self-discovery, through working those steps and the support of fellow addicts, and that's what we're here to do, period.
And I think it's important that everybody remembers, like, who are we to measure or arbitrate willingness? Like, it's not our job. That is not our job. Our job is to stay focused on the spiritual principles of it. And here we go. Practicing those is hard. It's hard. And that's why we're talking about this. We want you guys to have the tools and the knowledge so you can welcome addicts, any addict, even if they're on drug replacement, because that doesn't mean that's their be-all, end-all story, and it's not up to us to decide.
Yeah.
Cheryl
has one.
You got one more there. We gotta move on.
Cheryl?
Yeah, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl. So Cheryl was saying, as a resource to dealing with people on drug replacement therapy, is refer to the information pamphlet In Times of Illness, right? And to practice honesty and integrity, right? You know, if we're coming into these situations and we're being honest, you know, and we're being guided by a physician, right, for the use of these medications and whatnot, then who is anybody to say that we shouldn't be doing that, right? We all have a right to be here. So we're going to move on to the next segment here.
Here's a scary thought. Let's consider what NA might be like without the third tradition. Anybody have any ideas if we didn't, if the only requirement for membership was not a desire to stop using? Denise.
I detoxed in the room, so I didn't go to a facility. So if they didn't have the third tradition, I wouldn't be here.
Awesome. So Denise detoxed in the rooms. She didn't go to a facility, so if the third tradition wasn't there, she wouldn't be here. Not many people would show up.
What's the requirement then if it's not just the desire, right? Because you need that first. And like that's not small, but it's something people have, right? And it gets them in the door.
Absolutely.
And allows them to be in a safe space, and then they can pick up on this.
Yeah. Yeah. We need a starting point is basically the sum of all of that.
Celebrating with a guy that was celebrating 2 years, but they had all posse'd up and judged me hard. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I was fucking confused. Mm-hmm. I was really confused. Mm-hmm. At that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I sat down at that meeting and I was supposed to be taking my year. I was taking my year by myself and I wasn't sure if I was going to do it. I was sitting in the meeting thinking, I don't know. So what I learned from that is I try not to judge people. Mm-hmm. I try not to judge people. I don't know who's going to get this. I've done that. I've watched people come in and I thought, oh, fuck, they're not going to make it.
And
you know
they
what
do.
To
do.
And
they do.
And you know what? don't judge people, man. Give them love. Give them love.
Here, here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the miracle.
Thanks, Dan. So the ties that bind is basically Dan's message there. Singleness of purpose, mm-hmm. really, is what that one boils down to, right? It's and Dan shared that coming up to his year, he was having a really hard time mentally and emotionally, got judged, wasn't sure if he was going to take his year clean, and the topic of the meeting was the third tradition. And he knew that he had that desire, so he took his year clean. And, I mean, he's still here today, many years later as a result of that.
Hi, I'm on your recovery. I think without our third tradition, like all our other traditions begin to fall apart, right? Because we lose our primary purpose. Our seventh tradition, even if it's not financial, we earn our seat here by wanting to be here, wanting to be sober. And then it just trails down, right? So without one, we don't have the other 11, right? So
yeah.
They are formatted in such a way that brings, like you guys said, a unity, primary
right. So without the third tradition, all the others wouldn't really, then we wouldn't have a need for it, essentially.
Well, and I think most people who have worked steps and who've like been in this program long enough, you all know whatever we give out, whether it comes out of our mouth or our actions, they come right back to us, don't they? So if we're not welcoming, we're going to be judging, we're going to, you know, be critical of somebody when we don't have all the facts. When that comes back around to us and that stuff starts happening to us, we can't wonder why, you know? Like, so, and most people who's done steps, they know this, right?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Riley. I'm an addict.
All right. All right.
I think it boils down to, like, just keep coming back. Like, I think of every addict who's had a relapse, and they're coming back to the rooms, and, you know, like, from my own experience, waiting to get into treatment, like, I couldn't stop, mm-hmm. but I kept coming.
Mm-hmm.
Had the desire, right?
Mm-hmm.
To like be back in my community, to start going back to the route of recovery. And, you know, I was welcome that way. Mm-hmm. I would keep my mouth sipped during meetings, but, you know, like it was a place for me to go that wasn't just like in my own head
mm-hmm.
alone. So I think that alone, just the addict who relapses and is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Their desire to stop doing what they're doing. Otherwise, they wouldn't be out of meeting. So.
Right. Gary.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that our predecessor fellowship who created the 12 traditions had to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be,
you
I think,
correct.
Honest desire
yeah. Yeah.
to stop
using
it.
Yeah.
Right? And then they had to change that to just a desire. People were fucking dying.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what's so important. That's the consequences of not having this tradition.
Mm-hmm.
People relapse and die.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Gary just mentioned that initially when these traditions were developed that they were initially stated it, you must have an honest desire, and it got changed to a desire because people were actually dying. And obviously that's kind of going against why we've put all this together. And that's what happens without this tradition. People die.
And let's face it, most of us didn't know what the fuck honesty was when we got here.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, how could you even decide? You didn't know.
Well, and then you're being judged.
Exactly.
Are you really being honest? Are you sure you're surrendering? Don?
And the judgment, I mean, I was so judgmental of myself that I didn't have to worry about anybody else judging me because I laid that judgment hard.
Mm-hmm.
So the desire is just a gentle way of recognizing the peace within all of us that may be there, might not be there, because that's the way it is, you know, and it kind of just gives you a clear invitation to come no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It does.
It's beautiful.
So really quick, Denise, but we got to move on right after you.
So I sat in the mustard seed church one time at a meeting, and a guy drank a Mickey in front of me, and at the meeting, right in the meeting, and then he asked me if he had the desire. And one of the things with this tradition that I don't think we talk about is you can sit in the meeting loaded.
Absolutely.
If you come in loaded, mm-hmm. you can be there, and no one can kick you out. Like, if you get obnoxious, they can kick you out, but mm-hmm. they can't kick you out for being loaded.
Right. Yeah.
And let's face it, like, I don't know about you guys, but any addict that walks into a meeting shows a willingness that cannot be denied by anybody. You know, like, I know for a fact I never would have walked into a meeting high, ever. So if somebody's coming in and they're high, fucking good for them, you know.
Was
it coming?
So we have another question.
Sean, you're next.
This is me.
Yeah, that's you.
Okay. So we're going to move on to our next large group question, and this is, how have we personally felt the effects of Tradition 3? Beth?
Hi, Beth.
Yeah, it was getting dry, too.
Stay.
So yeah, Beth was just sharing her personal experience about keeping coming to meetings, you know, even though she was high when she was coming to meetings, right? And, you know, she kept coming no matter what, because that's what we were saying, was keep coming back, right? And then, you know, she detoxed in the rooms, and she's been here for a while now. Hey. Right here, Chris.
Hey, I'm Chris. I'm an addict.
Hello, Chris.
Yeah, I think one of the things I experienced when I was first coming to the rooms is just I was coming in, like, really fucking angry, you know? Mm-hmm. Really, really angry. And, like, that's a pretty tough person to love sometimes, you know? And it took me a while to calm down, and some of my shares were kind of aggressive. Mm-hmm. I was combative with people, but people still loved me and made me feel welcome, right? Mm-hmm. And I find that, like, for myself now, yeah, like, yeah, I can welcome someone who's new and they're really eager and wide-eyed and whatever, but that person who's really hurting and is fucking kind of angry and maybe isn't the easiest to be around, am I still able to have compassion and to welcome that person with open arms and be patient with that person and show them the kindness that I receive, right? Because, yeah, like I said, if someone's, like, you know, a little bit disruptive, like we are, we're, you know, rebellious people by nature too, so can we still show those people, like, patience and understanding and welcome?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. So, yeah, you know, how do we hug a porcupine, right? Hey, you know, that's kind of what it comes down to, right? You know, we're not always easy people to deal with. And I think it's important in practicing tradition three, you know, that we can have that love, that kindness, compassion, empathy, right? And try to meet people where they're at to the best of our ability, hey? Not only as individuals, but as a fellowship, right? Mm-hmm. And as a group, right? Because we have all these different levels of participation, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've got our own personal experience that we share on a regular basis. We have our groups. We have the fellowship. And then when we go out into the world and we take ourselves out with hospitals and institutions and public relations, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go right here, this lady over here.
Hi, my name is Donna, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Donna.
I just want to say that tradition three saved my life. I would have been one of those people. That's what I did. I didn't feel like I've gone anywhere, and I was so lost and lonely. And when I came to these meetings, and still till this day, I went out for lunch, and when I come back, I was like, this is where I belong. These are my people. Everybody understands me and loves me.
Yeah, the life-saving principle of inclusivity, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Amanda.
I'm Amanda. I'm an addict.
Hey, Amanda.
My experience is a lot similar to Matt's. Like, I remember being, like, 4 years clean and just going crazy mentally. And, I had to see a psychiatrist. Like, the combativeness, I was there. I was fucking crazy. But I was mentally not well, and I needed help. And I remember my sponsor at the time telling me that, like, I wasn't clean because of taking medication, that I needed to help me not be crazy. And, you know, in the end, there was lots of judgment and people saying I'm not clean and, like, da-da-da-da-da. I ended up getting loaded anyways. I'm clean again. But, like, the tradition three thing, like, fucked me up a lot because I was like, it's not fair. I'm doing what I need to stay clean. Like, I'm not using these medications to get high. Like, I'm using these so I can fucking live. And, like, the tradition three, I just remember, like, someone who, like, she doesn't come to the program anymore, 14 years clean, and now she's doing her own thing. But, you know, I still love her. She's just doing her thing. And she reminded me of tradition three, like, you know, you have a desire to not do tradition, and just keep coming in. You know, I'm glad I didn't keep coming, and I'm glad I didn't, like, let the judgment, but I just really did a lot of good to spend, and, yeah, thankfully I'm still here, but.
Right on. Thanks, Amanda. So Amanda was just sharing about her experience and tradition three being something that could have potentially taken her out of the fellowship, and what I heard was that it maybe did for a while, and just because of someone else's judgment on medication that she was being directed to take for her mental well-being, right? I was going to share this at the end, but I'm going to share it right now because I think it's very prevalent. This is from our guiding principles on Tradition 3. It says, it's never our job to judge another addict's desire for recovery. Membership issues have a way of resolving themselves. Right? We can outweigh the assholes, right? Right? Just saying, right? We pay attention to our own motives and behavior and remember that actions mean more than words. Okay? Jeff. Because you are, right? Yeah, so what Jeff was sharing is, you know, after having been in our fellowship for a while and then walking away and having an extended period of absence from the fellowship and came to a place where he had had what I'm going to say is a sufficient amount of pain and suffering and wanted change. And he came back to a meeting and I was at my home group and he got up at the end of the meeting and took a welcome tag, and when we were done having our circle up at the end of the meeting, I went over and introduced myself to him and said welcome, you know, so we've developed a relationship just from that interaction, right? And that was all as a result of him having a desire, right? Thank you, Jeff. Hey, Barb. Right on. Yeah. Right on. Thank you, Barb. Yeah, so Barb was sharing about, you know, blaming herself for, you know, just carrying that self-blame and whatnot, all that ugly stuff that we feel when we get in here, right, and just being able to let that go so we can just focus on having a desire and our, you know, we can grow from that. Loretta, this is going to be... Hey, Loretta. Thank you, Loretta. So the willingness to work with anyone. I'm going to go to this table back here because you're giving me flack. Chad, go ahead. Hey, Chad. This is the last one, too, and we're going to move on. Right.
Cleaned up in a really small home group, but they're the ones that, you know, we hear those catchphrases, "Well, love your faith, love yourself, you know, shoot or wounded." And it was that small home group that that brought that to fruition for me, because I'm a guy that tried to exclude myself from this program for a long time, because I had a desire for a number of years before it actually turned into surrender. It was through that trust that maybe this program will actually.
Right on. Thanks, Chad. So yeah, Chad was saying about learning to trust the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous through practicing the principle of the third tradition, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we learn to trust Narcotics Anonymous and we can start to develop a faith in the program, you know, that we can all grow from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Okay. Where are we at here? So this time, we're actually going to read from our spiritual principles in the third tradition. You guys should have some sheets on your tables there.
Copies of the third tradition. It works, how and why.
Yeah. It's out of our how and why book. So applying spiritual principles. I'm going to read the first paragraph, and then we're going to have a table read another. We're going to read through this together. And because we're not going to be repeating this, you guys, pick somebody at your table that's going to do the reading that has a really loud projectory. Okay, applying spiritual principles. The third tradition encourages freedom from judgment. It leads us on the path of service toward an attitude of helplessness, acceptance, and unconditional, or helpfulness, sorry, acceptance and unconditional love. That's my favorite quote. As we've seen in previous traditions, our path of service arises from the application of principles. Some of the principles that support this tradition include tolerance, compassion, anonymity, and humility. Okay, first table. Let's go here. Crystal. Okay, let's go in the middle here.
Tammy Addict.
Hey, Tammy.
Hey, Tammy.
Addiction is a deadly disease. We know that addicts who don't find recovery can expect nothing better than jails, institutions, and death. Refusing admission to any addict, even one who comes merely out of curiosity, may be a death sentence for that addict. We learn to practice tolerance of addicts who don't listen, think like us, or share like us. We teach by example. Pressuring new members to talk or act like we do may send them back to the streets. Mm-hmm. It certainly denies them the right to recover and learn in their own way.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you. Right next to it.
Compassion lends kindness to all our efforts in service to others. With compassion as the foundation of our actions, we learn to support members through any difficulty they may experience. All too often, quality of another's recovery or willingness. Tradition 3 asks us to set aside our self-righteousness because the only requirement for membership is a quality we cannot measure. The right to judge another's desire is denied us. Our attitude ought to be one of loving acceptance toward all addicts, regardless of any other problems they may experience. Generous application compassion is more therapeutic to the suffering addict than a free application of judgment.
Right in front of our coffee center.
Try to remember our own fear and confusion in our first meeting.
right here.
And then everything is the spiritual.
Yep.
And then it is the principle that supports the openness of our groups and our freedom to welcome. Everyone is equal. NA has no classes of membership and no second class members. The common denominator in NA is the disease of addiction. We are all equally subject to its devastation. We share an equal right to recover.
Loretta's table. We're going to finish up right here.
Aaliyah Addict. Tradition 3 spells freedom for the members of NA. It sets the role requirement for membership in the heart of each individual member. We do not have to decide for anyone else. We do not have to expand time and energy on deciding who should stay or who should be helped. Instead, we are free to extend loving assistance to anyone who walks into a meeting desiring freedom from addiction.
Beautiful.
Awesome job.
Thank you, everyone.
Awesome. So with that being said and being, you know, focused on the spiritual principles of how we can practice this tradition, we're going to go into small groups. So everybody at your table, you guys all have the notepads in front of you. These two questions are something that World really wants the information on. So when we decided to do this workshop, we did some research. We found out what they're really looking for, and these next two questions are, they're trying to develop different ways around it. So the first one being, first of all, you guys can present or somebody can write. If you guys all want to write, that'd be great, but as long as there's one sticky note coming from each table, that will be great. And you guys will have 15 minutes. Okay, so 15 minutes, you can utilize the third tradition in the basic text, how it works, and whatever tools you else want. Like I think you can utilize the basic text online as well. What gets in the way of practicing the principles in the third tradition as an individual member? So we're going to take 15 minutes to answer that question, and then we're going to move on to the second one. Yep. What gets in the way of practicing the principles in the third tradition as an individual member?
So are they going to...
Wait, they have 15 minutes. We can walk around the room. Yeah, I'm going to tell them.
We're
done at noon.
Like 25 after.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I made sure we had time to wrap up. There's 15 minutes for everything.
So we're not going to cover their answers on this then? We're just going to gather this information?
Yeah. Why don't we give them both questions?
Yeah, let's give them both questions.
So, hey guys.
Hold up.
Just a real quick, because we want to hear all your answers. This is like the most important part is that you guys participate. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you both questions. You guys have 15 minutes to answer both. You can decide which one to share. And then we're going to take the last 15 minutes to recap it, okay? And then we can introduce some of the tools that we printed for you guys so you could take them home if you've never seen them or utilized them. So the second question is, what gets in the way of practicing the principles of the third tradition within the meeting place as a group? Okay, as an individual and as a group. 15 minutes, go.
Are you setting a timer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go pee.
Okay.
And then you guys, I'm going to dip out right after the answers. So can you guys recap? Close it off, say thank you, and then thank Creator. Close it, and say we want to thank our higher power for welcoming it, and we'd like to thank them for being here with us. And that's, and then close it. Okay, cool. Yeah, as long as you close it.
You will not leave it open.
Okay, thank you. I want them to.
around getting hurt. Just
kidding. We need to gather up the pens and all the note pads.
Yeah, you could throw them all in the bag. I just fucked it. Thank you for doing more stuff.
You did this at the same.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to. Yeah. I could share my experience, strength, and hope of preparing something.
Well, and I didn't.
Absolutely not happening in my
family. I didn't research to see which was the most important thing that they're trying to learn, and it's this.
Right.
Hey, how are you?
$20, and here's an example of his talents over there. He's actually really good and fast. He only takes about 3 to 5 minutes and he's done.
Thanks, Gary. No, but were you listening to all the tables?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, I walked around and to hear all the conversations taking place was phenomenal. This is the whole purpose of the workshop.
100%.
So,
really good.
How were your listening of conversations from TLA? Sorry, why? Did you walk?
I was walking.
I was like, Sean, let me walk around the tables. Like, usually, anytime you facilitate something when you're working, you walk around to make sure you're listening to yourself. But listening to all of the engaging conversations is like rewarding.
Yeah. Wow. Nailing it home, right?
So on these ones, like, we're gonna take off the paper, our papers, and we'll roll them up. If there's elastics in there, just put it in there. Because I lied. Here's the elastics.
Got it.
Okay. And here's the clips if there's anything left.
And that's dissension world.
And that's dissension world. We're not gonna write it. No, we're
gonna
take
gonna have them.
Let's do it. Yes, then we can.
No.
We should have done that.
Nice
adjustment mid-go.
Yeah.
No, and that's better. And so you repeating everything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All at the same time.
But see, that's what he was worried about, that he couldn't record the workshop if we were.
I know, but even still, like, there's going to be a lot of progress.
I know. It is. Wasn't meant to be recorded.
Or maybe it just needs to be, like, cut.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Oh, yeah. He'll manipulate it, I'm sure.
So, the idea of a disaster, recognize it from each table.
Yeah, and read that.
Form a line for a line.
Yeah.
Read the answer for question one. Say question one, and then read your answers, line back up, and then read the answer for question two. Because if you got to do one and two, then you would.
What I would do is half the room the first question, and the other half
okay,
the second
question.
That way we're not. Because what we have left now for time, we have 7 minutes to recap that, and then we're going to be at 4 minutes. So we're actually 20 minutes. We don't have 20 minutes. We have 15 minutes to recap, and then you guys have 5 minutes to say this. Do you know what I mean? Because you want to introduce, you want to say, hey, how many of you have worked the traditions? We have a one-pager here of questions for you to work the traditions with your sponsor. We also have the concepts and the traditions of copy, so you can, you know, for your reference, right? So they're welcome to come get one. I think there's enough for everybody. I don't think there's more than 50 people in here, and I printed 50 of each. Maybe 60, like, we're.
No, I think there's more than 60.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nah. Oh, I got him. Yep. They can take me there. Or they can take a picture of it at the very least, right? They can take a picture of it, yeah. And there'll be some that don't want it. Yeah. And then I'm going to just run out, and I'm
at,
you
I'm at 57 with this.
Are you
right
really?
Here,
oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So
okay,
we're
maybe 75, maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes 75. That's not too bad. But at least we have the 50.
And not everybody.
It's going to want one.
You know how many
people have one? Like, most of the audience, they, you know, so we got two of us.
Just to let everyone know, you got about 5 minutes for a collaboration, and then we're gonna start our wrap up.
I can't believe I drank a full thing of coffee, and I've only taken sips of water, and I need to use the bathroom. I'm gonna leave this
because
here.
You drank the fucking coffee first.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I drink a lot of diuretics.
Yeah.
Coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, it always surprises me when people are surprised. It's a fucking diuretic. Like, I don't even know what. to say about that.
You don't know what you're drinking?
Yeah.
Well, I know.
And yeah, that's going to make that happen.
And I'm fully aware of the consequences, right, and I still do it.
Yeah. Oh, I know, right? Yeah. And one of the big problems with that, though, that a lot of people aren't aware of, is caffeine depletes all your B vitamins.
Well, I take supplements for that.
But I know, but it fucks you over. Like, it prevents your absorption of it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So taking it, like, it depletes your system of it. Like, take it all you want, but you might as well just be flushing them down the toilet.
Oh, really?
If you're drinking that much caffeine. Just saying.
Okay.
Right?
Thanks for that information.
Yeah.
So I did not know.
Yeah, and people will, like, they'll drink coffee because they're tired, not recognizing the fact that one of the things that really helps with your mitochondria and your ATP, which is the amount of energy in your system, is your B vitamins. And if you're depleting your B vitamins, you're never going to get that. You're never going to wake up feeling like you can kind of move your day without your fucking coffee. So it's like this deadly cycle that you end up in.
Self-addiction.
Yeah, I know, right? Who's going to call it on that one? Exactly. Things you don't know, right?
Yeah. And if you don't know, you don't know.
No, and I didn't either until I started school. So. Probably faster than caffeine will,
but if you don't sober up, you tend not to get hungover.
That's right, yeah. Well, you know, I don't know.
At least that's what I told myself.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, I always, like, I never...
Weekend benders.
Alcohol, that drug feeling, never anything that, no.
Will it?
I did not enjoy that on the odd occasion where it occurred to me. I'm privy to other types of hangovers.
I love the combos.
You can. You absolutely can.
Of course you can.
But I'm just laughing.
Right on. Right on. At least they're talking about this stuff, right? Because it is about...
That's why humility is in there. Get rid of the self-righteousness.
2 minutes.
You're like my normal work and then extracurricular.
Yeah. Pretty much. It's all my life has been raised.
So we got 15 tables. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to count them off, and I'm going to ask Paul to come up and answer question one, and then you're going to answer question two.
Perfect.
Sounds perfect. They might forget what fucking number they are, though.
Okay.
We'll are go. We odd or even?
We'll just go.
This half and then that half.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up the collaboration portion here. Now, I want to ask if we can get one representative from each table to come up and read your table's answers. And we've got 15 tables here, so what I'm going to ask is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. if a representative from each of those tables I pointed at could come up to my left here, and we're going to get you to share your answer for question one on the microphone so everybody can hear it. And then we're going to get the rest of the tables to send up a representative for question two once question one has been answered. Is that clear? Okay. Yep. Come on up. So just a recap on question one here. What gets in the way of practicing the principles in the third tradition as an individual member?
Hi, Courtney Addict. All right, for our table, so we came up with feelings, trauma, emotions, ego, judgment, close-mindedness, no empathy, different backgrounds, fear, as in my personal beliefs, and lack of feeling I belong.
Thank you.
Yep, no worries. Oh, yep. And then the second one, we'll do it after.
No, not
that one.
Yeah, cool.
Hi, I'm Donna, and I'm an addict. So our table came up with resentment, judgment, discrimination, ego, pride, fear, not reading the literature, negative talk, and banking clean time.
Beautiful. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Donna.
Hi, I'm Abby. I'm an addict. Our table came up with judgment, self-righteousness, where you're at, bias, other people's requirements, ego, emotion, overall health, our perceptions, social anxiety, trauma, fear, jealousy, and gossip. Within a meeting setting, the thought of prerequisites to be a part of NA, gossip, cliques, not being welcome, standing in circle groups, leave an opening to let others in, disunity, groups, unaware of talking. Did I go too far?
It's okay. Keep going.
Oh, my bad. Unaware of talking shit of others, living in our defects. Stop. Self-soothing behaviors that misalign in spiritual principle and difference of opinions.
Awesome. Do you want to leave your answers with us, please?
Thanks, Abby. You're amazing.
Thanks.
Yeah, come on.
We did this correctly. I'm an addict. My name is Beth.
Hi, Beth.
We have is prejudice and judgment. I guess we wrote in positives. What it, like not remembering what it was like when we got here, not having empathy, remembering that newcomers' addictions is the most prevalent thing in their life when they get here, remembering that people will move out of the victim mentality, that when we pull people aside, do it gently if we're explaining why we share certain things in meetings and not others, sharing from the heart, letting our higher power speak through us to carry the message. Examine our spiritual condition first before we can practice the principles. Have empathy. We've got that twice. Not chasing down others, like not putting their recovery before ours. Their desire shows if they call us or show up to a meeting. And that desire does not equal willingness. Mm,
beautiful.
Thanks, Beth. Can you leave your other answers with us too, please, Beth?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Of course.
Thank you.
I'm Michelle, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Michelle.
We wrote down people are unhealthy when they come in, so, like, remember that. When members critique other people's share, that's not a good thing. When self-will gets in the way, invite in God's will, because, like, I'm not always right. And fear of aggressive behaviors towards other members, you know. So that's both of them.
Thanks, Michelle.
Okay.
So, did your table come up already?
No, we haven't.
No? Okay. Your question two. So, what I had asked. Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. We'll adapt.
Hey?
Hey?
It's not my will, right?
I'll only do one question, though, you guys. I'm Denise. I'm an addict.
You're not doing it the way I want you to.
They're really working it up here behind me. Judgment, control, negative self-talk, no superiority. We are all equals.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Question.
Two. The remaining tables.
The remaining tables. Yeah. Send up your representative, please.
It's like her answers are so much better than two.
Okay. For the group setting. Hi, I'm an addict named Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
So we put having like cliques or groups in the rooms, or having NA police. When you're cutting people off in their share or doing crosstalk, when your share is preaching your opinion of the program, mm-hmm. subliminal messaging to other people after their shares, not focusing on the solution, not reading the traditions, not acknowledging or welcoming the newcomer, not sharing to the newcomer, not having an appropriate chairperson to gauge the meeting and, you know, keep it about NA and focusing on the solution, and not honoring anonymity.
Awesome. Can we have your answers, please, Crystal? Sean, so just to recap, question two is what we're getting answers on here right now, and it's what gets in the way of practicing the principles of the third tradition within a meeting setting.
Hi, I'm Stacey. I'm an addict.
Hi, Stacey.
Hey, Stacey. The group is not the jury. If you only ask people to share that you want to hear from, not welcoming the newcomer, you should go speak with them, and clicky, not hugging newcomers.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Stacey.
Thanks, Stacey.
Hi, I'm Riley. I'm an addict. So personalities within the group. With anonymity, just that everybody has an equal message and an equal right to recover. Judgments placed by the group, maybe they're kind of saying, oh, like that's a newcomer meeting. Acting out, not having regular business meetings. Mm-hmm. Are people within the home group like not stepping into service? And then a chairperson lacking experience or directing a room, whether that's like stopping inappropriate behavior or not being mentored into the role properly.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Riley.
Hey, guys. I'm Chris. I'm an addict.
Hi, Chris.
The ones we came up with was lack of inclusivity, not meeting people where they're at, a unwelcoming group dynamic or group conscience, kind of like cliques, like somebody else mentioned. The format, so having like, as was already said, good business meetings and making sure that everything runs in a way that welcomes the newcomer. Closed-mindedness, judgment, weaponizing the principles or accountability. Ignorance, general ignorance, like if you have a group that, you know, knows the principles but doesn't really practice them. And then somebody else mentioned lack of unity, too, which I liked. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Chris.
Hi, everybody. Tim Attic.
Hey, Tim.
We came up with cliques, bringing outside matters into a meeting, and not opening the floor to a burning desire and always picking home group members to speak.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Derek, and I'm an addict. As a group, we came up with clickiness, people-pleasing, sacrifice, unwelcoming members, and acceptance of other fellowships.
Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, Derek.
Hi, everyone. I'm an addict named Kendall.
Hey, Kendall.
Outside voices, a.k.a. gossip, not following the traditions, members in your group not doing steps, working your own program instead of suggestions of NA, disunity, and then one I thought of in the lineup is having a small town meeting, not having enough old timers there to help support us.
Mm-hmm.
A great job, you guys. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your experience and your thoughts on this really important topic. I wanted to kind of add something, and that's just got to do with body language. I think a lot of us don't take into consideration the importance of our body language, and we can be hearing a member share and do the eye roll or the, you know, and it's silent judgment, which actually does have an impact on how we're practicing this, because we are judging that person as to whether they have a message to share. And again, who are we to say, you know? Close your eyes and listen, and you might hear a miracle happening right before you. So we have heard your perspectives on things, and now we're going to just talk about some tools when it comes to how to actually practice these traditions. I think you're up here, Sean. Yeah, so we have printed some hard copies. I'll let you take that over.
So Marina already left, but I really want to acknowledge Marina and all the efforts she put in to put this together. She definitely did the lion's share in preparing this. I hope she heard that as she was making her way out. So she made some photocopies of some resources here, printed hard copies of tradition questions as well as concepts and traditions on a one-pager, tradition readings, in It Works, How, and Why, and Guiding Principles are some other tools. Does anybody have any other tools they felt were helpful? Google.
Google.
Yeah, Google it. Hey.
Over here?
Yeah.
Higher power.
Yeah, inviting our higher power in for sure. I heard somebody else. Love in the room. Right, so go to na.org, and there's other resources on there, and we can access those worldwide resources within other areas and whatnot, right? And not just focus on our little area we have here, right?
I think just like being teachable and asking questions if you don't know things.
Right on. So remaining teachable and asking questions. If we don't know, we don't know. Riley. Predecessors, right? They're hard-won experience, right? We're lucky in this fellowship. We have a wealth of knowledge and experience. Hey, I'm gonna go to this back corner, and we're gonna start to wrap up here pretty soon. Kevin.
Yeah.
Right. Gary. Isn't he breaking a tradition?
Go back.
Thanks, Gary. I think you're breaking a tradition a little bit there, but we're going to let it go.
And
right here. Right. Right on. So yeah, the helpline is a resource too, right? And you know what? The still suffering addict isn't necessarily limited to somebody who's new, right? You know, I've been a suffering addict with Clean Time myself, and I know there's others in the room here who have as well, right? You know, we heard it shared in our process through this presentation, right?
And if I can just add, like many of us, when we come into recovery, we really is stuck to me. Okay, I'm free. Whoa! We come into these rooms and we have this desire to stop using, which is one of our NA promises, right? And find a new way to live. And we work through those steps. It's what we focus on, working through those steps. Very rarely do we talk about how you can actually work the traditions. And I have worked those traditions. I've worked the traditions myself, and I work them with my sponsees. And not just once, just like the steps. It's not a one-off. It's like, let's look at this stuff. The same thing can be done with the concept. So it's just one of those major tools where we can dive in deeper to how we have relationships with others. Because it's been said that the steps are to help us to prevent us from committing suicide, the traditions are to prevent us from committing homicide, right? So it's, you know, they work together. They're in unison. So just really, again, these worksheets here will help you get started. And if you've never worked the traditions, talk to your sponsor. If your sponsor's never worked the traditions, work them together.
Wow.
Well, seriously. I don't know where we're
okay.
at.
So if you still have, we're going to collect all the notepads, and if you still have sheets that have answers of your collaborations on the two questions, we want to gather those because we're going to submit this information forward to World. And I think we're about done here, so I want to thank everybody for their participation. And thank you for being present. Thank you for being an active participant in your recovery and sharing your experience, strength, and hope with all of us.
And please remember that we are not the judge, the jury of desire. No addict should be denied the opportunity to stay long enough to develop that desire. We can nurture the desire with loving acceptance. We're here. Our job is to fan the desire, right? Not dampen it, as it talks in How and Why about that. And in closing, we want to thank our higher power for being present through this situation with us and helping us to see things maybe a little bit more clearly. And please give us the willingness to apply what it is that we've learned here today in our everyday life and what it is that we do, think, see, and feel. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Close with the third step prayer. Take a moment of silence for the still suffering addict, both in and outside the rooms. For the one that might pick up for the first time, the one that might pick up for the last time. And the far too many we've lost. Mm-hmm. Many of us have said, take our will and our lives,
guide us our recovery, and show us how to live.